Ah, yes, Jesus, just a practice for us, God, as we will be singing that song together in heaven. It's become our favorite song, Lord Jesus. It's going to be our favorite. As you in the center, Lord, and all creatures around you, Lord Jesus, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So, Lord, we look forward to that day. But in the meantime, Lord Jesus, help us to praise you now. Help us to not hold back our praises, Lord Jesus, to tone it down, cool it down. Lord, we want to sing out. Lord, we can get excited about football and wear the shirts and get crazy, Lord. Help us to have more enthusiasm for you, Jesus, than we do for football or baseball or any music group or anything like that. We want to be excited about you, Jesus. You've done great things. So bless the remainder of our time, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to be hearing from Dan and Nod Tisdale, along with, again, their son Titus. One of them is here. Daniel's not here, but three-fourths of the family's here. And they're going to share how they've been sowing the seed of the gospel in Thailand and how we are joining with them in that venture. But before we do that, as we do every first Sunday of the month, we're going to join in a time of communion. And we're going to utilize the Gospel of Mark because that's where we've been in. So we're getting a lot of previews of things to come. But this portion of Scripture, which I want to use to launch into our communion time, is really the last part of chapter 4. We didn't read it last week. We focused last week on the parable of the sower, the parable of the four soils, the different hearts that receive or reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in seeing the works of our servant king for the first three chapters, Jesus hard at work, healing the lame, casting out demons, putting the Pharisees in their place. Last week, we had a moment to hear the words. We had the works of Jesus for the first three chapters. Then we had the words of Jesus teaching a parable. And after he finishes the parable, they seek to get away for a moment. They have a little retreat. And so Jesus says, "Hey, guys, get into the boat. We're going to go to the other side." And so we're going to pick it up with that right now, and that's going to lead us into our communion time. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, again, the same day he spoke the parables, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him, Jesus, along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat upon the boat, so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Verse 39, then he arose, Jesus arose, and rebuked, gave a stern discipline, and halted the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, being still, calming the wind and the waves, Jesus had the power to do that. And just as he spoke last week, powerful words about the gospel being sown into the hearts, some hearts being compacted and hardened to it, other hearts being rocky and having an emotional response to the gospel, some hearts actually receiving it and the seed springs up, but then it's choked out very quickly by the thorns and the thistles. And then there's that good soil that receives the word of God and it produces 30, 60, 100-fold. Well, just as Jesus shares those powerful words, he has a couple powerful words here too. He says, "Peace be still," to the wind and the waves. And then he, after rebuking the wind and the waves, he rebukes the disciples. And he says, "How is it? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And at first, when we read this, we think, gosh, that's pretty harsh. I mean, after all, the waves are crashing over the boat, the wind has torn the sails, and the boat is filling with water. And I think any one of us would be fearful of our lives at that moment. But Jesus is not worried. He's in the stern of the ship. He's sleeping. He's exhausted because he spent days casting out demons, healing the sick, rebuking the Pharisees. And so he's exhausted from all that work. And so the disciples have to go down there and tell him, hey, Jesus, don't you care about us? We're about to drown. You too. All of us are going down. And so when all seems lost from the disciples' point of view, Jesus arises, and using only his words, again, he rebukes, he verbally disciplines and halts the progression of the wind and the waves. And he brings peace and calm to what was only moments ago chaos and confusion. And I think we can all say, man, Jesus did that for me too. My life was just a tumultuous, raging storm. And Jesus came into my life and calmed me. He saved me. And you know, that happens sometimes when our circumstances get real bad and we begin to trust our feelings more than the words of Jesus. I know we've all been there before. And we say, Jesus, don't you care? Can't you see what's going on here? He says, I see it. Where's your faith? Come on now, I've carried you through so many things before. I can handle this. And so Jesus, again, gives a little bit of a chastening to his guys. And you think, well, why would he do that? Well, I think he did that because on that day, Jesus said, hey, let's cross over to the other side. He didn't say, let's try and get to the other side. He didn't say, you guys get me to the other side and then you fend for yourselves. He didn't say, let's go under. He said, let's cross over to the other side. And either they didn't hear him or they didn't believe him. They must have missed that. There's another moment in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9. This is a preview of things to come, where Jesus makes kind of a similar statement. And instead of a tumultuous sea, it's a convulsive young boy. And it's a father who comes to Jesus and says, please, Jesus, can you cast this unclean spirit out of my son? It's overwhelmed him. And so Jesus, again, steps in, steps up, rebukes the unclean spirit, and in his powerful words, he says, come out. So he told the sea, peace be still. He tells the spirit, come out. And right after this moment, Jesus brings his guys into a huddle. You're going to see a lot of huddles next week. They're going to huddle up. And Jesus oftentimes shares things with just his guys, his little inner circle. And after they've just seen him cast out the demon and calm the wind, he knows their faith is at kind of a high point. So Jesus says, guys, I'm going to tell you something. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. It says, but they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. They were afraid of the wind and the waves. They probably were a little afraid of this possessed boy. And now they're afraid to ask Jesus what he means by this. They can't believe he would mean what he says and says what he means. But that's exactly what happened. Because the disciples grew in their faith on that day when Jesus calmed the wind and the waves. The disciples grew in their faith when Jesus cast out the demon from this boy. The disciples are going to grow in their faith in a big way on that final Passover, what we call the Last Supper, what we call communion, 1,990 years ago or so. As Jesus said, guys, this bread, I want you to think about it as my body. It's going to be broken for you. This wine, I want you to think about my blood being spilled out for you. And Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And their faith is about to catapult because 3 days later, he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. He's going to rise again after he gives his body and sheds his blood for the sins of all mankind. And so as we enter into this time of communion, I want you to remember that Jesus restored peace on the ocean. He restored peace to that boy who was possessed. And he restored peace between God and man when he died on that cross. He was the bridge between a sinful man and a holy God. He did that for us out of love. He restored peace in our lives. So as we pray and prepare our hearts, let's consider that captain of our salvation, as the writer of Hebrews calls him, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, giving it all for us. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time you've given us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we do enter into this time wanting to covet it, God. We don't want anything to steal this time from us, God. So help us. Would you put away those thoughts or those worries or concerns, Lord? Lord, you said you would take care of us, Jesus. And you said not to worry. So Jesus, help us to believe you now as we enter into a time of communion, knowing that you've got it all handled, Lord Jesus. You've got it under control. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The family, why don't you come up forward?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged exchange it someday for a crown.
I'm going to read from Mark chapter 19. Chapter 14. There's no 19. So chapter 14. Beginning in verse 12. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover that you may eat it?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. They prepared the Passover. Fast forward into verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Let's do that together now and think about Jesus. And Lord, we do thank you. For you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. And Jesus, certainly we look forward to that day as we always pray, Lord, will there be no more death or sorrow or suffering, no more hunger or thirst. Those things will be passed away. But Lord, until then, here on earth, would you give us a touch of healing, Lord Jesus? Would you touch us, God, in our bodies, our minds, our hearts, Lord? We need you to cast out some things, Lord, that are in us that are not good. God, would you mend us and heal us, mend our minds, heal our hearts of things that have hurt us? And Lord, certainly we look forward to the day when that will not be a prayer anymore, Lord. We'll be free from the presence of sin. The presence of sin will not be in heaven, God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 23, then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's drink that now together. And Jesus, you were able to say, "It is finished," only because you shed your blood, Lord, for our sins. For you knew that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. It was in the Levitical law, Lord. You established it. And Jesus, you fulfilled it. And so when you said, "It is finished, it is completed," Lord, you did it all. No more need to sacrifice anything. And what the blood of bulls and goats and lambs could not do, Jesus, you did in your own body. You not only covered our sins, you forgave us our sins. And you cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be seen again. So Jesus, thank you for covering us in your blood and saving us. We dedicate our time to you, the rest of our service, in Jesus' name. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We're not going to go to the Mount of Olives. We're going to sing a hymn.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to a home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made. Would you help us, Lord, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, Lord, holy and acceptable, pleasing to you, Lord Jesus. That's what we desire our lives to be. They're not ours, Lord. We surrender them. We offer them up to you and trust you to take us where you would take us, lead us where you would lead us. So, Lord Jesus, there's no one else we can trust more than you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, band, leading us, worship team. Hey, communion is one of those practices that binds us together as the body of Christ. And another practice that binds us together is the sharing of testimonies of what God is doing in and through our lives. That's what Dan and Na really are going to do today. For the remainder of our service, they're going to be sharing what God is doing, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit, using Dan and Na and Titus and Daniel to bring the gospel to the people of Thailand. I met Dan personally a couple months ago. We shared breakfast together. And of all the things I learned about him, I learned he's also a former wrestler. I think that's important, you know? I mean, that's important. Most important thing. But Dan and Na have been married for nearly 30 years. They served as career missionaries in Thailand since 2000. And they're now with Global Recording Network. Dan assists Global Recording Network Thailand with the IT issues, technical issues, ongoing maintenance of the app and the website, and he helps promote GRN's gospel audio recordings on social media. So he definitely gets down to the nitty-gritty of those technical issues. So he uses his skills and gifts to help the office run smoother and get the gospel out to more people throughout the country of Thailand. God has given Dan a vision of giving every person in Thailand an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Isn't that a great focus? To give all the people in Thailand an opportunity to say yes to Jesus by hearing the gospel. And so by working through Global Recording Networks, God's helping that vision become a reality. Now, his wife, Na, is also a gifted teacher, a Sunday school curriculum writer who thrives when sharing the Word of God with kids. She's written some curriculum that you're going to see a bit later. And after service, I encourage you to stick around and go see some of the things that God has put into her to create for reaching children with the gospel. They both have their master's degrees in biblical studies from Southern California Seminary. And again, together they have two sons, Daniel, 24, and Titus, 11, who's here with us. And so let's pray for them as they come up to share. Lord Jesus, thank you for our dear brother and sister, Dan and Na. And God, we ask that you would enable them now to speak just like you did first service, Lord, to speak from the depths of their hearts, Lord Jesus, on what you've done, what you've started in them. And Lord, we know that if you began a good work in them, you're going to be faithful to complete it. So Lord, help us to have listening ears and hearts, Lord, to what they have to say. Bless them now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Dan and Na Tisdale, come on.
Well, thank you very much, Hillside, for inviting us up to come and share with you this morning. I thought it was going to be a little bit chillier, and I'm really glad that it's not, especially because I don't have much hair up on top, and we're from Thailand, so we get cold very easily. I want to thank the pastor for inviting us, and thank you all for supporting us and faithfully supporting us so that together we can reach people in Thailand for Christ. We couldn't do it without your help. And I'm so pleased that Na's with us today, and we're going to be married for 30 years this year by God's grace. And thank you. Titus is with us, and he's our continual bundle of energy. He's in the fifth grade, and he's 11 years old. And probably next month he'll be taller than his mom. Well, yes, as the pastor was referring to, we had lunch breakfast down at Ramona, and we shared stories back and forth, and I had forgotten about the wrestling thing. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks. Anyway, he thought it might be interesting if we could share some stories, Na and I, about how God has been so faithfully working in our lives over in Thailand. And so we're going to do that. And to start off, a little bit of background about myself. I was born and raised in Alaska. I came from a rather dysfunctional family where alcohol and chronic depression were the norm. Some of our Christian relatives told me, Dan, we're praying for you, or Danny at that time, and God has a plan for you. And I hung on to those words as I was going through troubled times. And it was really wonderful that God gave me that hope in those words, and that looking forward to a plan that he would have. Because I was always like searching for it. Where is it? Where is it? Okay. So when I was 21, I joined the Navy to see the world, to see where I might want to live when I grew up and retired. And of course, I didn't know it at the time, but God was leading me straight to himself during that time. And there was this friend of mine, his name was Tom, and he's kind of a weird guy, tall. And he came up to me in the chow hall, and he invited me to a Bible study. And I said, where is it? And he said it was on base. And I had been burned going off base in another city. So I was very serious. That was actually a prayer with me and God, that I made a vow I would not go off base. So that's really cool that he gave that to me. So the Bible study was on base. This friend of mine came and got me in my barracks, and then we walked over, and they were sharing the bridge illustration which God's on one side, man's on the other, and Jesus is the bridge to get over to God. And that made so much sense. My eyes were open wide, and it was just amazing. And so I prayed the prayer, and so it wasn't by something someone shared with me, but it was the Word of God, the Scriptures, that really spoke to me. So as I went home in the evening to the barracks, I knew I was saved because of that scripture, not because of someone telling me something, because I had learned not to trust people up to that point. But I could trust the Word of God. So a little bit after that, I got discipled in the Navy, and then I was discharged in 1987. And then I immediately applied at Christian Heritage College down in El Cajon. And so I went to college there, by God's grace. And during that first semester in college, I felt called to missions. And there was a guest speaker at the chapel one day. And he was sharing this, how great God was and how big he was. And we were all saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he finally put this to us. He said, Why don't you instead say to God, most people say, I'll go if you call me. I'll go if you call me. Why don't you say instead, I'm going unless you stop me, Lord. I'm going unless you stop me. And I, whoa. So I took that to heart. I don't know if anybody else in the chapel took it to heart, but I did. And by God's grace, I'm going to continue to go because God hasn't stopped me yet. So praise the Lord. It's by his faithfulness and grace that I'm able to continue going to Thailand and sharing the gospel. GRN, Global Recordings Network, was started over 80 years ago up in L.A. by a single missionary. Her name was Joy Ritterhoff, and she was a missionary to Honduras. And then she got sick, and then she had to come back to America, so in L.A., and she would miss her friends back there, and so she would pray for them. And then, because they couldn't read or write, they were oral communicators, and so she was like, "How are they going to grow in Christ if we don't get something to them?" So God inspired her to make a recording. In Spanish, a gospel recording in Spanish on a record. And so little did she understand or know what God was doing with her, because here we are as a mission 80 years later, and thousands of people. We've got over 6,000 languages that we've recorded. So, yeah, it's been a great start. So oftentimes God allows things to come into our life that we don't understand so that he can do greater things through us. And those things can oftentimes be difficult circumstances, strange circumstances. At GRN, our main focus and our passion is to share the story of Jesus in every language of the world and through audio, gospel audio recordings. We have learned over the years, sometimes making mistakes, we learn, that if you use a language helper, that's better than someone else that speaks it. So we use language helpers that are in that language, and then we use traditional music forms to help that become more interesting to listen to for the people of that language group. In fact, there's joy and gladness when people are hearing the gospel in their own language. They really grab a hold of it many, many times. So now I'd like us to watch a video about what we do over in Thailand. Okay, thank you.